We're in this series called Catalyst, and we're talking about what are those elements, what are those things that, as we start 2023 off, especially as we're praying and fasting, what are those things that need to get into our life? Like, what are the things, the elements that actually create change, that actually cause us to not even just change, but move at a rate that we can never move on our own? You know, we're singing songs about miracles. And as we're singing that, I'm saying, are we really asking for miracles? And are we really believing for miracles? Like, could we see miracles today? And what would that take? Like, does it take just showing up to church? Does it take just doing a fat? Like what is it? And I feel like I have the answer. Anybody want to know the answer? Here we go. It's God. let me say it's His presence. It's His presence. You can read your Bible and memorize a ton of scripture. You can have a lot of knowledge. You can come to church every week. You can give faithfully. You can do all kinds of stuff, but if you don't have His presence, you have nothing really. And it's with His presence that you see miracles take place. It's with His presence that you begin to see things move forward. It's within His presence that when you've been stuck in a pit your whole life, that because His presence is with you, because you're with Him, all of a sudden you're able to do things that you could never do before. Like the impossible happens. I'm going to show you that. But before I do that, I just want to talk about the three kinds of presence. Because when we say presence, I think sometimes we start talking about the different kinds of presence. There's kind of three presence types of presence when the Bible is talking about it. When we're talking about God, there's omnipresence, where God is everywhere. Okay, like He's constantly everywhere. Like He's here right now. You may not recognize Him or know it, but He's here. And then there's the inner presence, where when you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Like the Apostle Paul said, I think it's 1 Corinthians, he said that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that He lives in you? And so you have God. Let that sink in. You have God, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you once you give your life to Jesus, like once you get saved. And then you have His manifest presence. And His manifest presence is when His presence is realized or made known. It's kind of like this. Let me give you an example. Like if I said in here, there's a multi-billionaire in this room. Well, you don't know who that person is. But if that person were to get up and say, it's me, now he has made himself known, or she has made herself known. And now all of a sudden you are aware exactly where that multi-billionaire is sitting. You know exactly what they're wearing, and you start watching them. Am I right? Like, how do they move? How do they operate? And then they come again. Like, you're going to come back next week. I wonder if they're going to be here. And you might even just kind of sit. I wonder where they're going to sit. Let me kind of get close to them. Anybody know what I'm talking about sometimes? Like, you find somebody, and all of a sudden you start wanting to become friends with them for some reason, right? Because they might have some things. That's the manifest presence. And here's what happens oftentimes. We can be in an environment like this, be at church. God is here, but you don't know it. Because you don't know it, because it's not realized, because His presence isn't active in your life, you don't get the benefits of His presence. So you can do some nice things and maybe even get into that promised land, but you won't stay long. And the blessing actually will end up turning into a curse. Because the promised land is not actually the blessing. The promised land is actually his presence. So I want to talk to you just for a few moments about some benefits of the presence of God. And then I want to talk about how we get into the presence, how we stay into His presence. It's not exhaustive. And then we're going to go into some worship. We're just going to invite God. So let's open up our hearts. Can you do that? Just say, God, my heart is open to you right now. Come on, say it. Say, God, my heart is open to you right now. Here's the first thing, if you're taking notes, the first benefit of God's presence. And let me just say this. There's a whole list on my computer that I wrote out, and I read through the Word and studying this and just seeing. When you see the presence of God show up, when you see any form, like when the Bible's talking about what happens when God comes around, what things change? What things shift? What happens in people's lives? What happens in a nation? What happens in a home? Like, you just see it. And that was going to be my message, and I thought, it's too much for a Sunday morning. And so I have made a whole new folder just entitled Future Messages. And I put that one in there because I thought, okay, this is going to be a series right here on the presence of God, because there's so much that the Bible shows us and has to say about the presence. And so let me just say this. Here's one. It's joy and pleasure. Joy and pleasure. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says this: "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This fullness of joy is like, it's a joy that overflows. It's not just like I'm filled up. The fullness of joy is like, I'm walking around, and when I'm around you, like this was my prayer last night: God, help me. I'm going to let you into a little bit more of my life right here. Okay, here's a big key. It's not in my notes, but just, it's a nugget. Shine it up, put it in your pocket, save it up for later, okay? And then take it out when you need it. One of the things the Lord's doing with me in this fast is the fear of the Lord. And like late last night, can I just let you into my life? I will, even if you say no. Late last night, I was just spending some time with the Lord, and I felt like he told me to change my cable package up. Because not that we watch these things, but there are certain channels and stuff that were in that cable package. And I felt like the Lord, just in the middle of worship, said, get rid of that. And so I got online and I started chatting with the person, and they were like, well, if you get rid of those, then you'll lose these. And I was like, okay, well, I'll think about it. And I continued to worship, and the Lord just, if you want me, you got to host me. You can't have this stuff. But God, my kids won't be able to have Disney Junior. The Lord's like, I'll figure it. You figure it out, man. So I deleted it, or I had them take it all off, and ended up saving a bunch of money, by the way. So that would praise Jesus. They actually added on some other stuff. They were like, do you want to take off the Latin view too? I was like, I didn't even know we had the Latin view. I don't speak Latin. I'm joking, Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. So yeah, take that off too. Like, I don't speak it, so take it off. And we ended up saving even more money. And as I was going up the stairs to bed, I just told the Lord, I said, God, would you teach me how to have a whole lot of fun without the junk from the world? Because it's easy to have that stuff in and think that's a part of fun. It's just a little bit of junk. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not the only one, right? We can be raw in this place. I'm human just like you. Okay, he takes the weak things. We got to come to this place of saying the joy of the Lord is better than the jokes of the world, than the laughter of the world. Like, in his presence is the overflowingness, the fullness of joy. Listen, and at his right hand, put that back on the screen, please. At his right hand are pleasures, for how long?
Forevermore.
Psalm 16:11. We have to understand, we got to come to this place of understanding that it's in his presence that we find all the stuff that we're wanting. The world tries to give you a bunch of other stuff, and actually leads to death. And he's trying to give us something that will last forever. Something that truly enriches and blesses. Anybody want that kind of life? I do. I'm asking God, Lord, I just want to walk with you everywhere, but I don't want to be one of those weirdos. You know what I'm talking about? I shouldn't say those weirdos, but you know what I'm talking about, where like they just start speaking in King James all the time. I don't want to be that. I want to be normal. I want to be me, but I want your presence with me everywhere that I go. When people get around me, I want them to smile. I don't want them to be like, oh, here comes the pastor. No. I want them to be like, man, every time that dude is around, for whatever reason, it's like things just lighten up. I don't know why. Well, it's because the presence of God, and it overflows. onto other people. Are you seeing this morning? Okay, here's the second one. It's deliverance. Deliverance. If you're in a jam, listen, if you're in trouble, if you're in bondage, if you have addictions going on, God's presence will deliver you. Let me say this. Sometimes we, as the capital C church, I think we've messed some people up. Maybe you're one of them, and on behalf of every person that has messed you up, if it was me, please forgive us. We have sold a lie that says, if you will follow Jesus, you will not have any issues. If you give your life to God, you won't have any issues. Jesus did not say that. Jesus said, in this life, you will have troubles. Jesus said that. He said that. But for whatever reason, I think this is one of the reasons why so many people have fallen away over the last... I heard a stat the other day that said in the last 40 years, 40 million people have fallen away from Jesus. And let me just tell you, in the last 2 years, it has accelerated. And one of the big reasons is because COVID hit, people got all messed up, all their plans got jacked up, and they thought, wait a minute, you said that if I just, then this would happen. Somebody lied to them. God did not. But somebody did. Ooh, this is not a fun message. Somebody told me, I will not apologize. But I'm just letting you know, like, open your heart, because there's joy on the other side of that. Yes. Psalm 91:15, I love this. Read Psalm 91 really slowly. Read it in like every translation that you can. I'm for real. Read Psalm 91. There's this prerequisite of Psalm 91. And there's all these promises. You can see it on the screen right there, one of them. But the prerequisite is those that dwell in the shadow of the Most High, those that make their refuge, their home in my presence, these are the things that will happen for them. We'll quote Psalm 91, but we won't do the prerequisite. We won't stop and say, I'm going to live in the presence. Like, I'm not going to come out of the presence. You know you can come out of the presence of God. It's in the Bible. Read the story of Cain and Abel. And he left the presence of God. You can do that. We can position ourselves in a way that we're just not living in it. And let me just say, church, family, I desire to help you so badly, and to help us, to help me, to be a people that are different because we live in the presence of God. But here's what happens when we live in the presence of God. People get drawn to us. Like, the broken get drawn to us. The lost get drawn to us. People that need Jesus start to get drawn to us, and God begins to minister through you on their behalf. That's the greatest thing that you could do in your life, is to partner with Jesus in bringing in our brothers and sisters into the family. And it's going to happen with his presence in our life. You got lost and broken and hurting relatives? Get in the presence of God. You don't have to be weird. You don't have to be spooky. You don't have to be heavy all the time. Just get in the presence of God. And what will happen? That joy will come. Peace will come. Pleasures. But here's a benefit that comes when we get in the presence of God. Psalm 91:15. When they call on me, those that have said, you are my dwelling place. I make you my refuge. I'm going to live in your presence. When they call on me, I will answer. Read this next part. I will be with them in trouble. You might be in trouble right now and might be wondering, where is God? He's there with you. In your pain, in your stuff, in your junk, he's right there with you. I will be with them in their trouble. And then he says, I I'm going to take this on. I will rescue and honor them. You're not just going to come out of it. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to honor you in that mess, coming out of that mess. Here's number three. Blessing and success comes. This is just one of the perks. Blessings and success comes. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Okay, now let me just, before you put that on the screen, let me give a little bit of context here. So King David, a man that was, the Bible says, that is known as a man after God's own heart. That's how God viewed King David. And David had just really taken full rulership over the kingdom of Israel. And the Ark of the Covenant, this thing called Ark of the Covenant, if you haven't heard of it, it's the representation of the presence of God. Like the Ten Commandments were in there and some other stuff were in there. And it represented the presence of God. And so whenever Israel would go out to battle, whenever anything was happening, they would take that ark in front of them with the Levites, the singers, the worshipers, all that stuff. And they would take it with because the Lord was fighting on their behalf. And so they would bring the Ark of the Covenant, in other words, the presence of God with them wherever they would go, and they would win these battles. Well, over time, they started losing their way. The king, who was the king before David, his name is King Saul, he lost his way. He was no longer really following God, and the Ark of God got taken away, got lost, just kind of put somewhere. They forgot about the presence. So King David comes, and he's like, I want the presence. And so he's like, let's get the Ark. But they didn't go after the presence the right way, the Ark of God the right way. Somebody died. I'm not going to go in all, but it was rough. And King David was so upset about it and so freaked out about it that he said, hey, you know what? Put the Ark in this guy Obed-Edom's home. Like, give it to him. He's one of the Levites, one of the worshipers. Like, give it to him, and let's see what happens over there, right? And he goes back home, and he's like, man, the Bible says he was angry with the Lord. He was frustrated. He was scared. There's different ways that you can use that word. Anyway, he's like out of his, not in his right mind, and he starts looking to see, you know, what's going on. He's inquiring, God, you know, my heart, you know, my desire. And he looks in the Word, and he realizes there's a way that you approach the presence. There's a way that you handle the presence. And so he starts to figure it out, and then all of a sudden he goes back after the Ark. But here's what happens. This is what sparked him to go back after the Ark the second time. And I love this story. When you read further, you just kind of go, David is, I like him. David's a man after God's own heart, but he's like, I want it more than you. Like, I'll do whatever I can do to get it. But this isn't that part of the story. This is what happened when he left that Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God in Obed-Edom's home. It says this is what happened in Obed-Edom's home. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11. It says, the Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. This blessing is like, it pushed things forward. It prospered everything. Like everything that they touched began to bless. And it wasn't just Obed-Edom, like the head of the home. It was the whole household began to get blessed. And so then now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of, say it with me, the Ark. You can say it a little stronger. The Ark of God. Some of y'all are like, is that really real? In other words, because of the presence of God in that home, everything that they've had is now blessed. And then the Bible goes on and says, and then David heard and he said, let's go get it. Let's bring it back to the city where we can have it in the center of our country. So we can have it in the capital, have it in the right place, and the presence of God can abide where it's supposed to go. Why? So that we can all be blessed by it. I'm praying that we're all getting stirred up a little bit of saying, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want the presence of God. Here's another, I'm just going to rattle off some verses. You ready for this? I'm going to rattle them off. 1 Samuel chapter 3, here are just like some lists of what happens with blessing and success. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, it says that the Lord was with Samuel, he was a prophet of Israel, as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. How would you like it if you're speaking on behalf of the Lord, and it happens. He let none of his words fall to the ground. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14, and everything he, David, did, he had great success because the Lord was, say it, with him. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 through 4, it says, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. Okay, let me just say this. If you don't know, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Then he was put in prison because he was accused of something that he didn't do, yet God was still with him throughout the whole thing, okay? And so this is actually talking about Joseph while he's in those issues. He's in trouble, and it says this, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. He's a slave right now. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. And then he gets accused of some stuff and gets thrown into prison. The same dude that trusted him everything threw him into prison. Okay, it's kind of messed up, but God is with him, right? What did Psalm 91 say? I'll still be with them in trouble. Yeah. And when they call on me, I'll rescue them. And when you read the end of the story, God rescued him. But this is him in prison now. Genesis chapter 39, verse 23. He says, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was, say it, with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did, even in prison, even in trouble. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 9. Are you getting some? Are you getting this? My point here? I just want to like overload you and overwhelm you with this. Like I like to win arguments. Like, ask my family, right? Like, I'm coaching my daughter. I'm coaching one of my daughters on how the art of winning an argument. I am. Like, I'm coaching her, right? Because she's got that in her. And I'm like, this is how you win, girl. Just overwhelmed. Like, people used to get mad at me, like, you don't even let it go back and forth. I know. Because I want to win. Like, I don't want to give you a chance. Like, I like watching games where there's when I'm rooting for the team, where it's not a tight game. Anybody like that? Like, I don't like the suspense when I'm rooting for a team. I like the suspense when I don't got nothing in it. But when it's a team that I'm rooting for, I'm like, oh, no. I don't want this thing to go down in the fourth quarter. Like in the first 15 minutes, I want to be like, it's a blowout. I'm just going to have some fun and eat some Cheetos. You know, so, something like that. Like we can just have a good old time. I don't, because Saturday nights, listen, I'm glad college football is over. Thank you, Jesus. Because Like, Lord, you know I want tomorrow to go well, and I don't want my soul to be down. No, I'm joking. This is why we're fasting. It's because my issues, though. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 9, it says, and David became more and more powerful because the Lord Almighty was, say it with me, with him. Joshua chapter 6, verse 27. So the Lord was, say it, with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. This was after they conquered Jericho. Because God was with Joshua and he did exactly what Joshua would do. God's presence was with him. His anointing was on him. His hand was on him. Joshua did the impossible because God was with him. Joshua chapter 6, verse 27 says, I already read that one. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. This is my heart for our church. I just want you to, can you read this with me out loud on the count of three? One, two, three. The Lord's hand was with them. And a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord because the Lord's hand was with them. I do not want to be at a church where he is not with. And I'm the pastor of this one. And I believe the Lord's hand is with us. But I believe that the Lord is calling us and saying, but I want to be in a greater degree. Like, I don't want you to be normal. Like, I don't want your times together to just be like, well, we got through that one. That was good. Now let's go to Red Lobster. That's what I used to do when I was a kid. I want my heart, my hope is that individually we would be in our neighborhoods and our homes and our apartment buildings, our jobs, and the Lord's hand is with you. And a great number of people believe and turn to the Lord because he's with you. Jesus said in John 15:5, he says, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. In other words, I'm the source, and you get from me. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do anything. If you stick with me, if you remain with me, you can be able to produce a whole lot of fruit. But if you don't, you really can't do anything. Luke chapter 18, verse 27, Jesus is speaking and he says, what appears humanly impossible is more than possible with God. For God can do what man cannot. What's impossible in your life right now? What's staring at you? What's yelling at you? What's been screaming at you for the last 30 years? What's going on in your life? Whether you see it right in front of you or everybody else can see it or it's just on the inside. And it's impossible. Maybe you've even had reports. This is incurable. And God says, what's impossible with man is possible with God. We need his presence. If you remain in me, oh, you'll produce much fruit. I love this one. Philippians 4:13. Paul's speaking and he says, I can do, say it with me, all things. This word through in the Hebrews, literally, it's not just like with his help. This word through is meaning like with God, in his presence. One of the words is in a company with. Like when I'm accompanied by Jesus, I can do all things. That's what Paul's saying. When his presence is with me, like when Jesus is with me, I can do all things. I think sometimes we quote some verses, we hear it so often that we just kind of, you know what I'm talking about. You just say it, and you don't even think anything about it. And Paul is in here in prison, writing to a church. And he's talking about having peace and rejoicing. Pastor Z read a little bit earlier of that chapter a little bit ago in worship and about rejoicing in the Lord. And Paul's speaking here in trouble, in an issue. And he's like, but God is with me. In one of his letters, he's writing and he's chained to a Roman officer. And here's what he's excited about. He's like, I'm glad I'm in chains for Jesus because this dude right here is about to meet Jesus. Like he's like this was on Paul's mind. Like even when I'm in chains, like you don't have me because the Lord is with me. Like I'm here because I chose to be here for you. Like, don't be sad for my suffering. My suffering is but for a moment because I'm looking to an eternal prize. And that's eternity in heaven with Jesus. And so I go through all the mess intentionally. It doesn't feel good, but I allow myself to go through it. Why? Because I'm on a greater mission. So all I need is God in my life. I think some of us, we're not on a greater mission. So we even avoid hard times. We have a hard time believing in God because of hard times, and we don't realize that sometimes those hard times is to produce something greater in our life, and it's beyond us. And he's saying, but I'm with you in the trouble. Like, I'm with you in the mess, and you can do it. You can persevere. You can get through this thing. You can do the impossible with my accompaniment when I'm with you. So how do we get into God's presence? I'm going to give you just quick 3 points, and then we're going to take a moment. We're just going to invite the Lord into our lives afresh. I mean, he's already here. Anybody sense the presence of God in this place? And maybe you're sitting here, and you're like, I don't sense nothing except for my hunger. That's okay. Lord, show yourself. Here's the first thing. Number one, thanksgiving. These are simple things, but they can be hard things. If you don't do it. Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2, it says, oh, come and let us sing to the Lord. This is why we start our services off with worship, y'all. It's not because this is like, oh, this is what they do. This is what they teach those guys to do in Bible college. No, no, no. It's because when we're coming to the presence of God, the Bible says to come to his presence with singing. He doesn't say, those of you that have great voices, come with singing. Hey, those of you that can get on a mic, you come with singing and let everybody else watch you. Doesn't say that. He says, talking to everybody, oh, come, let us. This is a worship leader. Let us sing to the Lord and do something that a bunch of people don't like to do, especially in public, but you will do it for your team. Come on. You're laughing because you know it's true or something happens, right? You see a mouse and you'll do this. So let us shout joyfully. Like I'm excited. I'm happy. Why? Because I know who I'm coming to. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation and let us come before his presence, coming to his presence. When we come before his presence with thanksgiving, let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. In other words, with these songs, with these worship songs. let us come and sing joyfully and shout joyfully. I love that. We were in worship a little bit earlier, and I don't know what song they were, the team was leading us in. But all of a sudden, I just heard y'all, and I just kind of stopped, and I was kind of like, man, okay. Like, I just looked. I thought, wow, like, this is amazing. Like people are shouting joyfully to God. This is it. This is how his presence becomes realized in our life. Number two, with singing. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with, say it with me, singing. Anybody watch that? I'm singing. I'm in the store. I'm singing. Right? Sometimes you say, I'm singing. I'm in church and I'm singing to the invisible one. I'm singing really loudly so that everybody could hear. And I'm not ashamed. And I have a smile on my face because I'm joyful. You can come on up. We got to come with singing. I don't care if your voice is bad. Cover it. No, I'm joking. No, don't. Just don't try to get on the mic, okay? But sing. The Bible says to make a joyful sound. There's something about when there's joy in our hearts. Did you know that when you sing and you put a smile on your face, it actually changes the tone, and it actually brightens and lifts the tone of your voice. And sometimes you just need to put I'm gonna give you a little singing lesson right now. If you will just smile when you sing instead of frown. Lord, we seek. Lord, we pray. Lord, we ask. I'm asking God! But if you just say, God, I ask you because I know that you answer me. I seek you because I know I'll find you. I'm knocking. I know that you'll open it up. All of a sudden your tone brightens and all of a sudden your voice sounds a little better than it did before. Here's the third way. We come in with praise. You know, praise is, it really means to celebrate. Praise isn't just, God, I praise your name. That's good. But what are you praising him for? Like, have you ever stopped just to think about just go through creation. That's giving him praise, right? Like, God, you're the one that spoke the world into existence, like, with your voice, like, darkness left, and the sun came out, and vegetation came, and the birds, and all that other stuff, like, it all came because of your voice. Wow, God, you're amazing. If you just think about the awesome, the power of, or, oh, I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. I could never right my own wrongs, but Jesus came to this earth in human form. The God, the Son of God, came and stripped off all his glory from me. Oh, Jesus, there's no one as loving as you and as great as you and as merciful as you, as faithful as you. Are you tracking with me? When we just begin to think of the goodness of God, we begin to praise him. Oh, God, you're so strong and there's no one greater than you. I love my son. Man, my son is the coolest. I love this dude. I love Isaiah. That's his middle name. I'm like, wait a minute. His name is Isaiah. I love Lion Isaiah. I love Lion. I was coming down the stairs, and one of our daughters was doing the whole like slide down the stairs thing as we were coming, and he's down there, and he goes, "You can beat her, Dad. You can beat her, Dad. You can beat her." And I was like, yeah. And she got downstairs, and he's still sitting there, and I get down on the floor, and he goes, "Look, I lost." And he goes, "Daddy won because he's the best." You know what I want to do for that dude? You want to go for some ice cream right now? I know it's the morning. I will. We will skip church just so you can know we won't. But I'm like, man, you build me up so much. You just think I'm amazing for some reason. Because I'm just your dad. And you're like, "Dad, you're the biggest one in the world, huh?" I'm like, In your eyes, sure. constantly celebrating me. You know what it does? It makes me want to grab him and come to him even more and say, you want, I'll do whatever you want to do. You're my favorite. Psalm 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Team, you can come on up. I asked the worship team, they can come in just a moment. Here's what I want us to do. I want us all, can we all just stand to our feet right now? You at home, just don't log off. Just stay. I just want us to begin to thank God for his goodness. Come on, can we just begin to thank him? God, I thank you for your salvation in my life. Thank you for your blood, Jesus, that was shed on the cross for my sins, Jesus. Thank you for righting every one of my wrongs, Jesus, for taking my place. Oh, thank you for inviting me into your presence, God. Thank you for telling us and letting us know that you desire to be with us, God. We thank you for giving us your word to know your thoughts and your ways, God. But we thank you that you're backing us, God. We praise you. Let's begin to praise him. Let's begin to magnify him. God, we praise you for your healing power. Oh, you're the mighty one. You're the all-wise one, God. There's none like you in all the earth. You're wonderful, God. You are the God of miracles. Lord, you saved us with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand, God. You delivered us from darkness and wickedness, God. Lord, you deliver us from trouble, God. When we're faithless, God, when we're unfaithful, you are faithful. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. We thank you that we can do all things through you, Jesus, because you're our strength. Yeah, when there's a gap in our life, you fill it, God. Oh, you're beyond us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just lift our voice. I know it might be a little uncomfortable to you, but speak to him like he's really here. Step out on faith and just begin to tell him. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for my kids, Lord. Lord, when I should have been dead. Oh, yeah. When all my stuff of my past should have taken me out, God. You delivered me. Your mercy has been strong in my life. Where sin has abounded in my life, your grace has abounded much more, God.
Thank you for redeeming my life.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Oh, we welcome you in this place right now. All we want is your presence, Lord God. We desire you above all. Come on, let's just begin to tell the Lord. Come on, invite him into your world right now. Invite him into your marriage right now, into your life right now, your homework. Come on, whatever part of your life. Come on, just invite him. Oh, Lord, we invite you right now in this place. Move on hearts right now, God. As we draw near to you, draw near to us, God.